Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the E2G Sports Network, home of the unsung sports grid. Visit us at E2GSports.com and follow us across the socials for up-to-the-minute sports news. This podcast is the property of E2G Sports LLC. Now, it's time for the show.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Table Talk Live for episode 23. AG Unfiltered, are you there?
I sure am.
What's happening? I actually feel like we have a caller, and it's a wild card because I definitely don't recognize this number, but let's give it a go and see if this person says hello.
Oh, hold on. We need a safe word.
We need a safe word.
Relax, ladies. I've been on this number before.
Who is this?
This is Lou from New Jersey. I've been on this number before.
Well, welcome, Lou. Have you been listening to Table Talk?
Occasionally I have. I had tried to call in, but you never got me through.
Oh, well, we saw you pop up today, so welcome aboard. Do you have something you'd like to talk about?
Well, I know I'm new to the show, so what is it usually you talk about? Because I cover almost everything, football, baseball, basketball. Sometimes I cover other stuff as well.
So we have a little bit of a different format than some of the other shows. We don't focus or drill down on any specific sport except for probably the Patriots. We cover more hot topics that are going on in sports. You're more than welcome to come along for the ride.
Thank you. You mentioned the Patriots, and well, I'm a Jet fan, so.
My condolences.
You might want to eat those words, because if our quarterback, Zach Wilson, has a season like getting in the preseason game, maybe there is something here, and it may give our Jets a bit of hope.
I mean,
okay.
We can only hope for some competition.
Yeah,
I think this year you're going to get it, because remember, you know, since that, you know, Brady left, you know, the Patriots have not been the same team. I mean, everyone was thinking Cam Newton was going to be,
Quarterback had COVID.
We'll get into the competition and what I think Bill has up his sleeves for Cam and Mac Jones a little bit later in the show. But to keep us on track, AG, it is time for Inferno of Hot Talk, Badass Women, Bad Behavior, What the Fuck Moment, and two great fun fan moments of the week. So let's get talking. Moving into Hot Topics. I'm not sure if you watched Ted Lasso, but it wasn't really a lot about the game or football this week, but it was important about team bonding and forgiveness. It's a totally touching episode where our favorites celebrated Christmas apart from their families. They gave back. They helped the best niece ever solve her bullying problems. Heart totally filled after this episode. I look forward to it every Friday now. AG, did you just love it?
I did. But my favorite thing that's happened in the past week is that Salon.com called Rory Kent the sexiest man alive for 2021. So I am 100% in agreement. If only he were real, right? So Rory Kent is the 2021 sexiest man alive. That happened after he went down on Keely. And while
my God.
Let her watch his retirement video, which was hysterical. But anyway, the homage to Love Actually,
Peacock,
everything about
right?
that episode was
no,
really
it's,
nice.
No, it's on Apple TV.
Apple, yeah. I've heard of it, but I never had a chance to see it.
Watch it. It's worth it.
Hold on, wait. Lou, do you have a significant other?
Yes.
Does your significant other enjoy sports?
Come to think of it, she does.
Okay.
Every,
does she also like
sport,
a heartwarming story
it.
And a guy who's kind of a jackass but also amazing?
Well, that's Jason Zegas for you. He is kind of a jackass.
Yeah. So I miss what you said, but if your wife likes a jackass, a heartwarming story, and also a lot of kind of mixing of British and American humor, I highly suggest you tune into our favorite show of this of like well 2020 and 2021, which is Ted Lasso.
Hey, wait, I got it. Ted Lasso, the story of a jackass. I love, what a lovely jackass.
It's actually, Ted Lasso comes, it came, was born out of NBC's kind of taking on an airing of football, not American football, obviously football like it is in the rest of the world, and attempting to drum up interest. So they had Jason Sudeikis do some spots, and then that rolled out into a TV show. And it's a TV show that Janiak and I really, really enjoy, along with a lot of other people. So it's one of the topics, one of the shows that we cover. We also cover one other show, which we'll get to. But yeah, that's one of our hot topics, is always kind of talking through our love of the most recent Ted Lasso episode.
Yeah,
part of Hot Talk. Well, welcome to it. That's why I said we're a little bit of a different format, but feel free to jump in and you're on for the ride. So if you missed it, all right. If you missed it, because they built it, folks did come and the White Sox and the Yankees played last week on the Field of Dreams. Yep. It actually came to life. It was the first MLB game that was played there in front of 8,000 fans. The White Sox won.
8,000.
Yeah.
The White Sox won, but they can only get, you can only be an Iowa resident, and you have to enter a lottery in order to get tickets. So it was kind of like the Hunger Games of MLB baseball to see the Yankees and the White Sox. Mm. But, you know, definitely interesting. The Cincinnati
Great
Reds
game.
The final inning was really
highest
something
rated.
Else.
I wasn't happy with the results, but it was a great game.
The Cincinnati Reds and the Cubs.
We'll see what happens next year when the Reds and the Cubs face off. I think it's a great idea to drum up some more interest. Jane, you know that I think that baseball on television is as boring as, watching paint drying. Exactly. So boring. But I think it's a great, like, little kitschy thing to do to drum up some more interest in America's pastime. So, really cute. I mean, I always say to my clients in my regular world, like, you know, it's not the Field of Dreams. Like, just because you built it doesn't mean people are going to come. But I guess in this instance, it happened. It just took
a while. Well, it was the highest rated regular season baseball game since 2005. So
yeah.
I think they did it.
People are curious.
It
combines nostalgia with America's pastime. So there you go.
Exactly. And speaking of the Jets, I'm not sure if you saw this today, but Tebow time is officially over in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
The former Heisman Trophy winner announced the move himself this morning, stating he was grateful for the chance the Jaguars gave him and thankful for the highs and even the lows, the opportunities and the setbacks, stating he never wanted to make decisions out of fear of failure, and he is grateful for the chance to have pursued this dream. Tebow is definitely a class act. I'm not sure if you can return those jerseys, but it's a collector's item now. Remember, number zero on the Jaguars.
Yeah, so he's been around professional sports since 2010, which is amazing for someone who hasn't really performed that well, right? It's like cockroaches sharing Tim Tebow. So he's reportedly got a net worth of $5 million. He's married to an educated former Miss South Africa, Miss Universe, slash model. And I'd say he's doing just fine. It's just not going to be as a quarterback or a tight end or a member of the MLB. So I don't know. Is it coaching? Is it back to broadcasting? You know,
I don't know what his next move is going to be. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But he definitely is a class act. I mean, he's the only one on that Miami team FSU team that came out of anything.
Jacksonville. Yes. Yeah. And he does have to play in a shithole, right? I mean, I guess that's why. I should just call it a day and retire. He got cut. Yeah.
He got cut.
Yeah,
he got cut. He didn't even make the roster.
Nobody gives a shit about the 90th guy.
I don't think anybody's really surprised by that. I mean, you know, he was out for 7 years and probably wasn't in the best of shape anyway, so I really wasn't surprised they did not make it. But he gave it a good effort, so I got to give him credit for that.
It's the history with the coach, right? I mean, that's what brought him into that position. I'm not sure why he tried to do it, but, I mean, like we said before, he's not Michael Jordan.
That's true.
Well,
or Bo Jackson.
Glory, that's
one last
shot.
Going back.
Or Bo Jackson. Yeah, he's just not going to be able to do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, AG, I forgot to tell you yesterday, I started watching the 100-Foot Wave series on HBO last night. It is absolutely breathtaking and bone-crushing what these surfers go through in this quest to get the world record for the largest wave ever ridden is unbelievable. But just the scenery and the cinematography of how HBO has filmed this. So we watched a couple of boats go for world records. One of them like was dragged off the beach. It was terrifying to watch. But they do all of this in Portugal. I had no idea it was like this. I've been to the surfing competition on the North Shore in Hawaii and seen the guys get, you know, out in the jet skis and come in on the big waves, but nothing, nothing even close to this. Those are maybe 12, 15 footers in Hawaii. These are 68, 75, and 100 feet tall waves that look fake, but it is absolutely insane. The people are so brave, but they are all like in it big time. So if you need something just to see it on your screen, like you have that huge TV screen, it will look amazing.
Yeah, I hadn't seen anything about this, so I'm definitely going to check it out. I did do a little research, and Portugal has never reported a shark attack, so it actually could be a place I'd be willing to put my feet in the water, although the water, you know, doesn't seem super friendly. And they have a lot of jellyfish, which I'm not super keen on. But I'm willing, you know, Portugal's on my bucket list. So it might be fun to kind of check it out.
Yeah, it happens in October. I wish it was like in May. So the at least the 100-foot wave thing. You can go to Portugal, obviously, anytime you would like. But if you want to go for the wave thing, apparently October is the time to go when they see these waves. So it happens every year. It's some phenomenon. And the guy, if you ever saw that video that it circulated Facebook and Instagram for a while of the guy riding the foot wave, which this docu-series is all about, his quest for that, and now everybody that's following him, and how they've turned, you know, Portugal into like one of the top surfing spots of the world. So it's really interesting just to see how it all came about, and the fact that it actually was real is just kind of amazing and really cool. I couldn't believe it. I got sucked in. Like, I was like, wow, this is really intense.
You need a new pastime. But yeah, I'll check it out. I'll check it out. For sure.
It's definitely fun. And our favorite show, Holy Moly, returned to the small screen this week. Second favorite. You love Ted Lasso first.
So much more.
New cast of Goofy Golfers and the return of Turfing USA, who knew this was going to be an all-surfing episode, and Cindy Wu, Vegas blackjack dealer, and part-time ninja Cirque du Soleil performer, because she's the first person to ever survive the ho-ho-ho pool. And she definitely proved that strict penalty is an advantage.
Super impressive. Super.
I mean, did you see her? I was like, how did she even do that?
I know how she was. She aimed high. She wrapped her thighs and her arms around the pole. She slid down. These are things I'm actually saying out loud about adults, right, that aren't involved in, like, some sex trade. So
she had to have been a stripper at some point. There is no way.
I don't know. It's not called stripping. It's pole dancing, which is
pole dancing. Yes.
So look it up. No. So maybe honestly, I don't know. Like, I think that she took lessons in the fundamentals of pole dancing, because she totally mastered that. Right. It's all inner thigh. It's all like bicep.
It was effortless.
Four women hit the finals there, right? Yeah. I was really hoping, because it looked like it was
That we were going to have an all-girl finals.
I was hoping so, but...
That line dancer didn't stand a chance.
No. Weirdo. This is a Christmas miracle in August. We've had two this week, Ted Lasso and this. So I know that for sure.
Well, she ended Jess Narragante's The Brazilian Bombshells run, and she joins Engel, David Lynch, Alvarez, and Sledge. Yeah, she definitely was not. But, you know, in her mind, they are in the hunt for the $250K. She was definitely cute, but she was not, like, bombshellish.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to talk about our next topic because I have a lot of opinions. And not only do I have opinions, but a lot of other people do, too. And I've got some quotes ready. Quotes
oh,
ready.
Oh, you do? Oh,
yes.
I am so excited. So Brett Favre is featured in a new PSA urging no tackle football for children under 14. The PSA says younger children should play flag football to reduce their risk of developing CTE. A football player's odds of developing CTE may be most determined by their parents, specifically what age a child is allowed to start playing tackle football, said Barb.
Yep.
This time, it is time to accept that CTE is not just a risk for professional. And CTE is not just a risk for professional and college players, but also high school players. And the best way to prevent CTE in, among football players is to delay the introduction of tackle football. I mean, I love that Brett Favre is getting behind this. I'm very interested to hear some of the quotes you have from maybe some of our friends. I probably should have asked Jarvis to jump in on this, but...
No, I checked out the URL that was part of the tweet. So the people that are quoted are Brett Favre, John Madden, Drew Brees, Jim Harbaugh, Dana Holgerson, Harry Carson, Mike Ditka, Leonard Marshall. Those are just some of the people quoted. And I really thought that it was what Madden said was really interesting. It's like, I'm a firm believer that there's no way that a six-year-old should have a helmet on and learn a tackling drill. There's no way.
Yes.
Or a seven-year-old or an eight-year-old. They're not ready for it. Take the helmets off, kids. Start at 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old. They don't need a helmet. They can play flag football.
Yeah.
And with flag football, you can get all the techniques. Why do you have to start with a six-year-old who was just potty trained a year ago and put a helmet on him and tackle? We'll eventually get to tackling.
Right.
And the others said a bunch about it also. Harbaugh goes as far as to say that he thinks that youngsters in America should play soccer until they're in eighth grade, and then they can learn
That's
to play football,
dirty
American
word.
Football.
That's a dirty
listen,
word coming out of Harbaugh's mouth. But
no,
it's Harbaugh. What do you expect?
No, but I'm saying there's other people. Like, if people think it's just about being soft, right, and like, oh, this new crop of people, then you got to look at Harry Carson and Mike Ditka. I mean, Madden also, Leonard Marshall. These are all old-timers. And
oh,
they,
absolutely.
You know,
and
I
100% agree with them as far as the no tackling, but I think the whole reason why football started so early is because they start soccer when they're 2 years old. You know, 2 and 3 years old, they can get kids into it.
Because parents are bored. It started early because parents are bored. They want to see their kids in like little pictures. They want that little girl dressed up like a cheerleader, and they want their little boy in the helmets. My good friend, we'll call him Bear. Retired NFL player, played for Miami, played for Baltimore, retired as a Cardinal. He'll actually be coming to visit and will be staying with me, bookmarking ends of his trip to the East Coast, which I'm super psyched about. But my friend, successful NFL career, didn't start playing tackle football till his, I think, junior or senior year of high school and did just fine. These kids don't need to learn fundamentals in pads and helmets. The helmets are not the same. The helmets weigh, from a percentage of body weight perspective, they don't make any sense. Their necks aren't strong enough. There are so many different stats that are available to support no helmet, no tackle football in youngsters that it would be really hard to justify why anyone would think it's appropriate to be out there like that. It just doesn't make any damn sense.
No, I guess not. Well, I
gotta wonder,
it
like,
is right, but
how
I'll
old was
back.
Junior Seau when he put on the pads? We know
well, that's
the,
that's what people were saying. Some of some of the guys that were interviewed in the thing that they aired today on the Today Show really talked about how, like, before we even got to when it matters in high school, I had played 13 years in a helmet already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And again, if you look at the stats, and I should go back and find the original tweet. That has the URL because it's a shorter URL, but it's concussionfoundation.org/Favre4flag, number 4 flag. And if you look at at this and you look at the stats, there's just no supporting putting little kids out there to be hit like this. There's no rationale for it. And I know that my friend who, again, retired from the NFL, I know he has taken, he's participated in some CTE studies. And as we know, you can't diagnose CTE with, you know, except an autopsy. But he has gone through to a lot of cognitive testing. He went to Texas and did this whole round of cognitive testing to see how he may have been impacted as a player.
Let's talk about my good friend's husband, who is in early dementia, who is a Super Bowl champ for the Green Bay Packers because of CTE.
Exactly. So why put it out there? Why let these folks risk this kind of injury for what? For like your little picture that you're going to put on Insta or Facebook or whatever? Get a fucking life.
You can still throw them in a helmet. You don't have to have them play.
You most certainly.
If you want the photo, yeah. Don't have them play.
Not like that. Yeah. It's ridiculous. All right, so I had some opinions, Gene. I was just forewarning you. And then, you know, one of my favorite movies from the late 90s is where we learn how to say Brett Favre's name appropriately or properly, okay, and something about Mary.
Yes, Brett Favre. Barbara. Well, again, definitely – always wear a helmet when playing sports, when there's one available, and 100% agree.
Yeah.
I think learning how to develop plays and run a route and how to do that type of strategic part of football when you're younger is fine, just no hitting. So 100% agree with them and hope that the parents take this seriously as well as some of, you know, the coaches that are out there.
Well, what we know is that once kids get the reason they're saying 14, there's a bunch of different stats to support why it's 14, but a lot of it has to do with these inexperienced volunteer coaches.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, it's not like there's medical staff the way there is, not in all high schools, but in a lot of high schools, there's all these things. There's just too much data to support not having them play tackle. Make it flag. You can learn how to run a route and flag.
Absolutely. I think learning how to hone the other skills of football are just as important and will make you more successful as a player longer in life. Exactly. Learn those fundamentals versus just hitting. Awesome. Well, and as we are wrapping up hot talk here, congratulations to Muhammad Ali's grandson who took the ring over the weekend.
He's got a name. It's Nico Ali-Walsh. And
we should
rather than identify him solely as his grandfather's grandson, I think we actually should say his name. He's 21 years old. He's a middleweight. He defeated Jordan Weeks, who showed no defense at all. And he happened to have worn his grandfather's shorts in the ring, and his grandfather happened to be Muhammad Ali.
And they were definitely there for good luck, for sure, because apparently he had some custom shorts that he was supposed to wear that didn't show up in time, so he decided to wear his grandfather's trunks, and it definitely proved well. But congratulations. I'm looking forward to
it. It also makes a nice little story.
It does. We're looking forward to seeing what this young man does in the future. Alrighty, you are listening to E2G Sports, the Unsung Sports Grid. This is Table Talk with AG Unfiltered and me, Janiac. If you're looking for up-to-date NHL or Seattle expansion news, we recommend our friends Dan and Tyson.
Looking to scratch your weekly NHL itch? Be sure to check out E2G Hockey with Dan and Tyson right here at E2G Sports, home of the Unsung Sports Grid. Get your weekly analysis, gossip around the league, and the lamest of dad jokes, only at EDG Hockey with Dan and Tyson.
Welcome back. We are on to our next topic, Badass Women, Equality, Inclusion, and Representation. Naomi Osaka returned to the court.
Oh, this is where we don't allow any mansplaining. Go
ahead. He's dropped off.
Oh,
he couldn't make it through Hot Topics to Patriots. Burned again. Burned another one.
Well, I think he might have had an opinion on flag football and then realized it wasn't going to work out in his favor.
Well, and it's also hard to get a word in. so
you know,
now
you have to know the agenda and the format.
Well, exactly, right, so that you can jump in. So Naomi Osaka returned to the press yesterday. She's donating her winnings to Haiti relief efforts. She is definitely an athlete that is truly trying to use her platform for good. However, she continues to be asked top questions. The tennis superstar broke down in tears and needed a break after a reporter from the Cincinnati Inquirer asked her what has been deemed, I'm specifically highlighting that, as an aggressively toned question. I'm not quite sure it was aggressive, but her agent really goes in hard on the guy.
It was on the heels. It was essentially, I believe, the thing is, it was on the heels of some other questions. So it's kind of like in the beating a dead horse thing, I think, is my understanding. But yeah, her agent goes in hard calling the guy a bully. Right.
Yeah. I mean, she did come back and finish the press conference. She needed a break. She added the aggressive tone from an unfamiliar person after she had already spoken in an earlier answer. He did phrase the question in a way that I felt that she could have effectively responded to it. And I didn't see that it was quite as like crazy as her agent Stewart has really slammed this guy in the press. The statement.
Right.
After the presser saying the bully at the Cincinnati Inquirer is the epitome of why player and media relations are so fraught right now.
Yeah, would that be the epitome? Yeah. So here's the thing, right? I know that she has a tough time in that environment. She doesn't enjoy that environment. I would argue a lot of people don't enjoy that that environment.
Nobody does.
Questions. Nobody, right, but here's the thing. What about our culture has us needing, right, to be in this voyeuristic, vulture-like environment, right? Why is that necessary to, you know, to fire questions at a player, male, female, regardless of sport? Why is it necessary to pepper that person with questions? Like, what are we trying to gain in doing so? Like, why is their personal reaction such importance to us? I could see asking a coach questions. We need to take a moment of their joy or a moment of their pain or a moment when they are attempting to dissect a performance. Like, I really don't understand the voyeuristic nature of that kind of questioning. And not all reporters are going to get to redeem themselves like Trent Crim from The Independent, right? Most of these people are going to be more Ernie Louds from The Sun. And I'm hoping you understand what those references
yeah.
are.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody's going to be able to redeem themselves in that manner. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit later about Bill Belichick's presser. But honestly,
mm-hmm.
I wish that Naomi Osaka and Bill Belichick could sit together. Because if Bill Belichick could impart on Naomi Osaka some of his responses and his way of reacting to press questions in those moments, she could become the person in the powerful in the position of power.
Exactly.
She could have a position in that.
She needs media training. Her agent wants to sit there and bully and call people bullies and call out media people
yeah.
who are trying to do their jobs and trying to do it at the most sensitive way that this guy possibly could, right? He was asking, he was drilling down on something because he was trying to connect some dots there. And I understand as a journalist where he was coming from, right? So to call him a bully is just, I think, going a little too far. But I agree. I feel like if someone, her agent now, the onus is on him. Get her some tools. Have her sit with Bill Belichick. Have her sit with Federer and these other guys who have learned to command the media and take the post versus, like, just letting her sit up there like a lamb.
So there are a couple of different things about that. One, somebody like a Belichick, like, if a woman got up there and acted just like Belichick, she would get called all sorts of names. So it has to be done in a very kind of careful way. Hopefully that kind of tide is turning a little bit. But I think that she needs some – she can't be up there and be 100% Belichick-esque. But she needs a little Bill Belichick in her – like, you know, a little bit of that in her. And I'm suggesting they could do a real good trade-off. Like, she could help him with his room raider rating because his room raider rating has got to be zero. And I feel like, you know, they really could – it could be a mutually beneficial exchange. But what I'm saying is, you know, there's got to be a way where she can command that room. We do also have to remember she's a young, young woman.
Absolutely.
Her experience is on the court where Belichick is a much older guy who comes from a place where when men start talking, a lot of people stop talking. And that's not exactly the position she's in. And she's dealing with a bunch of, like, you know, old dudes who are used to the old way. So part of it's training, but it's not traditional media training where you're supposed to be America's darling or something like that. It has got to be a different kind of media training where she is able to, you know, be that player who takes the soda can and is like, I'm not drinking this rubbish. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's got to be a way that that can happen. And right now, she doesn't have that. And unless and until she does, they need to change. And I think that I think that there's something really sick about the way those pressers happen. There's got to be a different way, right? There's got to be a different way than having all these old people, like, fire questions at you as though you owe them something. She doesn't owe anybody anything but what she can do on the court, which is, by the way, the only thing she owes herself. We just get to be spectators. I feel the same way about all athletes. We get to, their job is to be out there and do their best for our entertainment and our enjoyment. And when they don't want to do that anymore, they should simply stop. Or when they're not able to do that anymore, they should simply stop. I don't think that anybody owes the press anything. They don't owe, you know, and have to or whatever. There are plenty of ways for athletes and artists, et cetera, to connect with their audience. Now, there are so many different platforms that, like, kind of this old way is antiquated, and in a lot of times it's abusive. So, you know, I think that she could really benefit, as Bill could benefit from her, some time with someone who's able to make somebody who actually, like, looks at them like, your question is fucking ridiculous. And that look is enough, right? And my hope is that look or that response back or, you know, refusal to say, you know, and the ability to say, I'm only going to answer a question about tennis,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's...
Exactly.
You know,
it's about giving her those tools and just, you know, having her practice being like, oh, I'm sorry, that's not a tennis question. I'm moving on to the next person. Like, that's why I feel like they're failing her a little bit. She's struggled with it. Go in there and give her some training on how to deflect some of these things. They need to help her.
Maybe these old guys could also take a little bit of training also.
Exactly. I think it goes both ways. Absolutely.
100%. And I know I'm talking a little bit out of, you know, both sides of my mouth with, like, how an experience would be for Bill Belichick versus how it would be for Naomi Osaka. Like, but that also goes to, like, maybe the coach should be the person doing these pressers. Like, I think it's incredibly unfair to, like, stick the microphone in the face of someone who's just lost something that they've been working their whole life to achieve or something. I just think that it's gross. Like, and then we get mad at them if they don't react the way we want them to, or if they cursed or, you know, or whatever. I mean, it's just, can't we do better as just a people? Can't we just be, I don't want to say be better, you know, whatever. Can we just be a little different? And I'm not saying, like, kowtow to everybody or be soft or super sensitive all the time. I'm saying, can you just be a human being? And can you put yourself in that person's shoes? And, like, if I worked for a year on a particular business pitch, and, like, left my heart and soul in that room and knew that I performed to the best of my ability and I lost, the last fucking thing I'd want is some microphone in my face.
True. I mean, it's true, but it's also a part of the phenomenon of sport.
Yeah. It's historically.
It's historically part of the phenomenon around sports. It'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward. But, you know, I think much like Sha'Carri Richardson and, you know, Osaka, some other folks, you know, they have been failed by the people around them. And
well,
they
well,
need better training.
Incredibly failed. Sha'Carri Richardson had some of the worst advice in the Olympics games as ever. I mean, horrific advice. And also she's in mourning and she lost an opportunity and there, she should have had people around her and said, oh, honey, we're not going to do the Today Show. That's just not going to happen. Here's what you're going to do. It used to be you're going to sit down with Barbara Walters. Now it's whoever that other person is. Maybe it is Savannah Guthrie, but it wasn't in that moment. You know, maybe it was Oprah. I don't know who it was, but it wasn't then, and it wasn't without proper coaching because we both know, deny. Are you kidding me? She didn't do anything illegal. She wasn't arrested. She wasn't a batterer, you know? Like,
yeah.
You had Michael Phelps, okay? Phenomenal swimmer. Battling mental illness, all those things, sure. But DUI, I don't know how many he had, but DUI. And he got to swim in the games? Deny, that's all. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, let the legal team do what they need to do. But, you know, speaking of bad behavior, here we go, our next topic. Looks like fans are out of control in the preseason. I mean, we can't even wait until the season to start. Are you guys kidding me? People have been locked up for so long. They clearly have forgotten how to behave in public.
They turned on their own.
Oh, yes. Yes, these fans squared off at the Rams and Chargers preseason game at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood. It was like an MMA cage match. Guys were bloody. This was like some crazy video. Like, where was security? Who is running the asylum at SoFi? I have never seen anything like this, even at a regular season game. And we've verbally been attacked at many a stadium. Many a stadium, including Gillette. But, like, come on. This is insanity. The video is on Twitter. It's also on TMZ Sports and several other media outlets. So feel free to go check that out.
These assholes thought that they were participating in an NHL fight where you just had to get the jersey over the other guy's head to declare a winner, right?
I'm surprised I didn't hit one of them with a fish.
One of them almost, did you see the woman almost lost her top and then there's this guy's ass. Well, first the guy who goes over his ass is hanging out, but then on the left of the video, the other guy is full ass crack. I mean, I don't need to see that. There should have been a warning. I mean,
that video goes on for so long.
You'll find me watching games from the safety and comfort of my own home. I already had the horrific experience with that Terrell Suggs' wife where she was assaulting everyone in our section, right? Where security did nothing because she was a player's wife. Fucking, like, horrific individual. I mean, the woman next to me, as you know, said, I went to college with so-and-so who's on the team. He said, fuck you. You don't know me. Turn around. Another person was like, oh, you look cold. I have an extra set of gloves. Fuck you. I mean, I've never been around someone who behaved so poorly.
Like her husband?
Security didn't do anything to add to my comfort level as a person who'd been sitting in those damn seats for years.
Yeah.
I mean, like, security at these stadiums is lackluster. And I would, you know, people are like getting these people out of the way who don't want to be in the middle of these idiots with their skirmish. You know, I just like they should all have charges filed against them, lifetime bans. You know, those of us who want to go and enjoy ourselves at a game should not be subjected to that kind of potential injury, right? Who pays for that if you get socked in the face?
Exactly.
And lose a tooth or something? Like, it is absurd. And that guy was a bloody mess. And really, it's gross. It's the whole thing was disgusting. The whole exchange was disgusting. And I've been to games on the West Coast, and it's always been a kind of a chill environment. This was a little bit different.
Yeah, people have been locked up too long. Things are getting a little out of control, I think, on the West Coast. I'm getting a little nervous about us, our travels out there to see the bats, especially if they can't control stuff.
I'll be watching from my house.
Well, moving on, unfortunately, to players. The Dodgers, Trevor Bauer, his accuser testified in court yesterday for 4 hours. She's telling the judge
that.
I mean, this is some crazy shit. The Dodgers pitcher, she says that he treated her like a rag doll during two sexual encounters. So she's 27 years old. She's not even seeking monetary damages at this point. She's literally seeking and going through all of this for a permanent restraining order.
Yeah, and the state is really going after this stuff, right? There are some interesting things about this one, and I'm going to – and I'm never going to victim shame ever, and I'm never going to say that something it is different than it is, right? This is a weird one. This one appears to be purely sexual exchanges. There appears to be a lot of interaction in advance of those exchanges, talking about proclivities. And again, get your freak on, do whatever. I'm just not a person that's going to judge about what you're into. But what's scary is it seems that consent was not gained for all of these different acts. And when you don't have consent, you have a problem, right?
Yeah. And well, being choked unconscious with your own hair,
you can't, although there are text messages supposedly that talk about, you know, getting choked out. And that is a form of play. It is. It's not something that I would ever be requesting, but that is a form of play. And there's just some weird, weird stuff about this. Now, what's especially disturbing is there's some stuff has come out about a former girlfriend having a temporary restraining order that she had rescinded at one point. There's talk about some other women coming forward. This guy has a lot of promise as a ball player, but
he's a Cy Young winner.
If these are his proclivities and he chooses to exercise them to get off, he needs to be with the appropriate person. And this woman clearly wasn't that person.
Is he another Army Hammer?
Well, you don't know, the Army Hammer thing is like especially weird, right? But I mean, it's all, listen, I'm not going to, like, you do you, right? If you can be into whatever you're into, but consent is key. And if he has these particular proclivities and he's not attempting to exercise them with a significant other, I don't know what the terms of the reasoning for the original TRO with the ex-girlfriend. But if he wants to exercise those, he needs to be exercising them in a different environment. This is a woman he met on Insta, right? And they started DMing.
So that slid into his DMs.
I want a relationship with this person kind of thing. That's not what this is. So if that's the case, there are places where he could go to exercise this without getting into a consent issue. And this, to me, appears to be issues around consent.
He's got to have somebody sign something multiple pages long actually engages with anybody. But here's the thing. Ladies, just stay away from him. If you know you want nothing to do with anything like this, stay away from him. Don't slide into his DMs. Don't go near the guy.
Right. It's one thing to be absolutely surprised by this. And it's not uncommon for a woman who's been assaulted to attempt to normalize that relationship and correct it in her mind to have a second or third or even fourth or more encounter with an individual. Those are parts of abuse victim behaviors that are often attacked. So So I don't want to attack that or anything. And who knows, maybe this was an escalation from, you know, experience one to experience two. If this is what he's into and he doesn't want to be accused of assault or rape or whatever, he needs to be doing this in a different environment. And he does, as you said, he needs contracts. He needs to discuss hard limits and boundaries and safe words, which you can't have a safe word if you're unconscious. Like, all
right.
of these things need to be discussed. All of these things need to be 100% clarified. And in a position like his, he needs to protect
hey.
Himself, which he clearly has not done. Now, if this woman, you know, was indeed violated in these different ways, and she... You know, his side is saying that they don't need to have a restraining order because this is a purely sexual relationship. It will not continue, so he is not at risk to her. And that seems to be a fair.
He just doesn't want to register as a sex offender. So, you know,
having a restraining order doesn't make you a sex offender. Having a restraining order just has you having a restraining order. He just doesn't want to, like, you know, not be able to be in a restaurant if she shows up or something just, like, randomly, which, you know, he's a public person, someone could do. He wants to maintain the power in the situation, which is likely the whole dynamic he was looking for from the get. He's just made some very bad choices, and she has found herself in a position where things went to a place where maybe she wasn't okay with that. And... You know, it's just like I said, like I've been saying, this is a really strange one. It's a really strange one.
It's good for the MLB for kicking him out. He's on administrative leave,
mm-hmm.
and let's keep him there until this is sorted. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
and the good news of bad behavior, the NFL arrest streak, is up to 39 days without an arrest.
Yeah.
So. Again, the average is 7. The record is 55. You are listening to EG Sports, the Unsung Sports Grid. We are here to celebrate heroes during and after the game. Do you know that we are partners with the Sean Thornton Foundation?
I knew that.
Hey, Boston. This is Sean Thornton. I might not be suiting up in the black and gold anymore, but my fight for Parkinson's and cancer research, advocacy, and support is still going strong. Through my foundation, I continue to be a protector for those in need and give back to a community that's given so much to me. Please consider joining my team and visiting thorntonfoundation.org or e2gsports.com for more information on getting involved, making a donation, and joining the fight.
This message supports the Boston Children's Hospital and the American Parkinson's Disease Association.
Welcome back to Table Talk with AG Unfiltered and me, Janiac. You can donate to the Sean Thornton Foundation through the e2gsports.com website or directly at seanthorntonfoundation.org. We are super excited about Sean and what he's doing, and he will be on Table Talk with us in late September. So very exciting things coming up with Sean. And we are back to Patriots. Because the Patriots are back in the preseason. It's underway. Bill had a very fun presser this morning, you know, his stoic self. But what was really interesting and what got me a little bit excited, AG, is lots of decor. Yeah, exactly. Like, where was he calling us from? Witness Protection Program? I'm not sure where they had Bill under the field or something. He didn't have any backdrop or anything today. It was hilarious.
The only accessory he's sporting these days is a wedding ring. I would have thought that, right, that, like, maybe, you know, be in a place with some of your trophies behind you, some books, some photographs, maybe you and your dad, like, you know, maybe you and the kids, football, a live plant. Instead... He is surrounded.
That wasn't even Nike.
Talk about blank. like blank canvas. I mean, it was just. And the screen angle, I mean, like, Bill does great with the press, but he needs some media training. I want to see if they put him on Room Raider because, oh, my God, they would tear his ass apart.
Too funny. Well, I'm very excited because I think we're finally going to see some magic with the utilization of both Mac Jones and Cam Newton. He rarely calls players out during a presser, but today he was very specific about how Cam is a red zone threat because of his size and mobility, his ability to block, et cetera. And during a shortened practice today with Philly, we saw Jones practicing and succeeding with deep ball threats. So are we going to see a QB 1-2 punch? Did Bill finally take McDaniels to task this season? Are we going to see some things that we saw out of the Saints last year with the utilization of Hill and Drew Brees after Brees came back from his injury? So when they got down to the red zone and we saw some, you know, fresher legs come in, you know, Drew obviously, I think, kind of reverse scenario, right? Because Drew's the deep ball guy. Give it to Drew for the deep ball. We saw Hill come in and take things through in more of the running, tackling, and blocking game. Are we going to see something like that from the Patriots this year? That's something we've never seen, and I kind of love
ever. Well, you know, we definitely didn't see it during the Brady era because it was like, oh, you're
Clydesdale.
You know, like, let's just keep risking injury for the old guy. Like, keep him in there. You know, I remember once in Tennessee being accused of running up the score, right? Because they put Testaverde in, which was highly unusual for us. But, like, this, you know, kind of stick with one guy, have him play throughout all four quarters, regardless of what's happening. I mean, a shakeup like that would be, I think, a big surprise and a welcome surprise. I think the fans would really enjoy it. I know I would.
Oh, I'm into it 100%. It gives me all the warm and fuzzies.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we have about 9 minutes left, so we are going to move on to our next topic, which is the what the fuck moment of the week, because this infuriated me. It makes me so mad. Deshaun Watson reported to camp on July 25th, and after requesting a trade in January, he's been a spoiled brat. He should be released anyways. He did not participate in the preseason matchup against Green Bay, and he did not practice yesterday. He currently faces 22 active lawsuits and allegations of sexual assault and inappropriate behavior. Yeah. How the hell is he still in a uniform at all?
I can tell you. So NBC Sports came out with a piece, Mike Flores, I think it was, just a couple of hours ago. And I think it makes a lot of sense, and it just shows what an impotent piece of shit Goodell is, because I think that they found, because this really made some sense to me, right? This whole thing. If he is, if he's not on the,
If he doesn't report, he gets fined. And now he needs every dollar because these women are going to take it.
No. So if he's not placed on paid leave, which is a PR nightmare, this is what I'm trying to get, for the team in the NFL, his name, if he's on paid leave, his name continues to be in the press and it continues to be in the news cycle. So what they're saying is if he's just not playing, then, and he's not getting, they don't have to put him on leave. Like, so they don't have to address it as long as he's not playing is the net. And I'm sorry, I tried to go back and find the article because I wanted to appropriately credit it. That's how I ended up jumbling stuff. You know, I need my very own, Benji or whoever it is for Howard Stern who puts all the things on all the different caps for him. And I don't have that. I'm trying to do it myself, and I'm only so organized, and I think I closed out of the tab I had open. That kind of went into more detail, but as long as he's not playing, they don't have to address it. And they think that his name is going to stay out of the news cycle. And
it's not. We're keeping it here until they get rid of him.
Well, the thing is that there, you know, the number of women in sports reporting is really low, and the number of outspoken women who aren't beholden to sponsors, and, you know, you have to be super careful about their language and what they say and innocent until proven guilty and all that kind of stuff. There are very few people. So who's going to be the person standing up there and ringing the bell, right? It's going to be people that don't have a necessarily a super, it's us, right? It's not going to be people with a super strong voice. So I agree with NBC Sports. I think this is a way of not addressing it at all and hoping that people just don't talk about, you know, all these, you know, all these 22 active suits and allegations. And, you know, I guess, you know, if you're a massage therapist, I guess you're just supposed to be expect to get assaulted. I'll let my guy know just in case he thinks he's safe. That's just not how it works, right? The whole thing is ridiculous. I do think that this is their way of not addressing it. That was the first reporting that I saw that made any sense to me, you know, from a strategy perspective.
Yeah. I'm disgusted by it. I'm going to keep him on this until he is off the team. I'm sorry. It is disgusting. But we do have a double shot of fun fan moments this week, and we have about 4 minutes left, so let's get to it. The Mets versus the Giants game was paused for several moments last night after a fan ran onto the field and pretended to throw pitchers on the mound. I mean, the video of this is just epic. It was a bizarre scene at Oracle Park in San Francisco. It started with the guy in a Padres – it's a Padres jersey – bolted out from his seat and onto the field. You can see the footage from the ballpark on Twitter. The guy ran around the infield grass for several seconds before he hopped and bumped and went through the entire pre-pitch routine. Like, what was this? Was he that fast? The security guards, I was like, what is going on? Was this a film? How he towed the rubber. He pretended to shake off Buster Posey's sides, and then he made a move towards second base. Three security guards eventually corralled him. The guy was escorted off the field through the dugout. No word yet on charges. I mean, talk about living out a dream. He definitely had this all mapped out. Is he there?
Ball game, right? I mean, like, that's the only thing I could think of when I was watching this. He was mocking the security people, really.
Oh.
They really need, like, the most, like, pathetic attempts at like, you know, wrangling him. It was absolutely ridiculous. All the players were just standing there. But this guy was harmless. But I think that this is really a place where the MLB Players Union has to discuss these things, because this guy could have been anyone out there, you know, in an attempt to injure a player or something like that. Like, someone could actually get hurt. The players could get hurt. So I think that this stuff happens far too often.
Yeah, this is like the third time.
Address security. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Security. Yeah. It's 100% absolutely insane. That the guy had that much time to, like, run around. I mean, he didn't run the bases. When I first read the synopsis, I thought he actually ran the bases. He didn't run the bases. He ran across the field and then ran around a little bit. And then when he goes to the mound and he does, like, the rubber and, like, the wind-up, I was disappointed that he didn't follow through.
I was like, throw that pitch!
Like, throw your imaginary pitch. And then what would have been hysterical is if the batter had, like, or the umpire called it. I mean, that is what I was like. Like, finish it, right? If you're in that far, you got to finish that job. And then, like, did you see, like, they take him off. They, like, start, like, getting him off. And he's, like, does the peace sign to folks. And then they get his other arm back because they're like, why are we still letting him have one arm free? And then that's when the police took over. And, I mean, just, like, what a cushy fucking job. I mean, it's not like they were at the Chargers game, you know, Chargers-Rams game. Like, you know, the police are like, ooh, no,
all right.
Police don't cop. Like, no, ridiculous.
We have 60 seconds left, and just for your visual delight or my visual delight, the Olympics may not be over, but you can still catch gold medal swimming superstar Caleb Dressel in the pool. He's just training with his new friend, his dog, and it happens to be Jane. It's a black lab. Caleb And the pups are totes adorable. I'm completely obsessed with them. So enjoy the rest of your week. Don't forget to shop at E2G Sports to gear up for your Nets tailgate. Our shop is powered by Fanatics, so we have all the goods at E2GSports.com. And also, knowledge is power, and power lets you play fast. Yeah, that comes from Bill Parcells. If you want total knowledge drop on your best fantasy football picks this season, download our Ultimate Fantasy Draft Playbook at E2GSports.com. Don't be a loser, be a winner. Thanks again for tuning in to E2G Sports, the Unsung Sports Grid. We'll see you back here next week on Tabletop. Get vaccinated, wear a helmet, stay cool, and keep on talking.
Get
up. Bye, AG.
You can. Bye.